we're not angry anymore. There's no anger here in this studio. We're going to have a great old time. 21 minutes past four, you're with Barbara and Jacinta on Big Life Conversation. And we are very pleased to again welcome back Vanessa Matthews, our resident family law expert from Matthews Family Law and Mediation Services, right here in Melbourne in Toorak. Today, Vanessa's going to discuss with us a really important topic, and that is child support. We're going to talk about what it is and how it works. Welcome back to the program, Vanessa.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here again.
Nice to see you.
Now, last time we spoke to one of your team members.
Yes, Jeremy.
Jeremy, who was wonderful. So we had a great chat to him. And I think you were enjoying some time in Singapore.
I was. Yes.
Lucky you.
It's a lovely place to spend some time.
It is.
It's warm and humid.
Oh, isn't it?
But it's a great place. And people say it's a really good place for a stopover if you're doing a longer trip. Because there's lots to see and the food,
yes,
let
course.
Me tell you, is amazing.
I've just been to Changi Airport. That's my extent of experience in Singapore. But our friend Ida Chon hails from Singapore. She's
she
a regular
does.
Contributor. And she's always telling us interesting things about that part of the world. Did you get to Raffles Hotel?
It's under construction, renovation.
Oh, renovation.
We did walk past.
Oh, yes.
I had said something about having high tea.
And a Singapore sling.
and a Singapore sling. But we went for a yum cha on a Sunday morning at a very nice hotel. It was special.
Oh,
it was really yum cha bits and pieces that I had never seen
really?
Before.
Oh,
okay.
So, wonderful. So it was a lovely trip. It was really great.
It's
just
so
by
good.
A week or so we were there.
Yeah.
I'd happily go back.
Yeah, it's a lovely part of the world.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad that you're back with us today.
Thank you.
We are going to be talking about child support, and you're going to walk us through the important pieces of information that you can share with us that will be really relevant. So I guess the first place to start is by us defining what child support is.
Yeah. So oftentimes when we first meet with a client following separation or even somebody who comes to us and they're doing research about what might happen if they separate and they want to make an informed decision, so they consult with us prior to making that really important decision. And an issue of major concern is how will I manage my finances following separation? Mm. And we have what's known as child support, and it was introduced into the legislation a number of years ago now, and people will find it. There's lots of information on the Department of Human Services Child Support website,
mm-hmm.
and we've got all of that information to go on to the Facebook page here.
Yep.
So child support is the amount of money that one parent is obliged to pay to the other parent or a non-parent carer. So you might have a situation where a child is, say, living with a grandparent or
mm-hmm.
an aunt or uncle, something like that. So child support is the amount of money that a person is obliged to pay to the parent or the non-parent carer to contribute to the day-to-day living expenses of that particular child.
Mm.
And is this does this work out, or is it usually just till the age of 18, or how does it work?
Yeah, so there's really two options for managing your child support arrangements. The first option is probably the most usual option, and that is when people make an application through the Department of Human Services, the Child Support Agency, and they submit an application. It can be done through a Centrelink office, or it can be done online by filling in a form, and it's called an application for an administrative assessment of child support. And you'll be required to provide quite a bit of information about your own financial circumstances and also about the living arrangements for the child or the children. So if you've got one child, two children or more, you would provide their birth dates. You would also provide information about whether there's an arrangement for the children to, say, spend 7 nights living with one parent and 7 nights living with the other parent per fortnight. You would provide information about your income. if you don't know the information, income information for your former partner, that information can be accessed by the department, which has a direct link to the department, the ATO, Taxation Office, to obtain that information. And so the administrative assessment process is the application of a formula. So it's a very standardised approach to child support. So there are a number of variables that are plugged into the formula. Your income, the other parent's income, the number of nights that the children stay with each parent, and the age of the children. And then it's simply a formula amount that is then calculated, and the information is sent to each parent, and the date for commencement of the payment is set down, and the amount of the payment is set down too. And that amount will apply for anything up to 12 to 15 months before it will be automatically reviewed in line with new tax information.
Oh, yes.
But if along the way you have a change in your circumstances, so the children's living arrangements might change one way or another, or income for either of the parents might increase or decrease, so it's important to keep the agency informed about those changes so that those changes can be applied in that time frame rather than the complexity of doing retrospective changes to the assessment amount.
Yeah. Okay. And with that formula, and you, as you say, Vanessa, that you plug in the various components that are relevant. So one being income.
Yes.
And of course that can fluctuate. So yes. So you might be the parent who actually accommodates the children for, you know, most of the time,
yes,
say, but your previous partner or their parent, the other parent, may have a loss of income, and so that will then, do they automatically just have a reduction in payment, or do they have to go and have that reassessed again? How does that work?
So there'll be a reduction in the assessed amount, and that will either be triggered by one of the parents informing the agency at that relevant time, or it'll come through when they next file or lodge their tax return showing reduced income, and that will be then plugged into the formula and a new assessed amount will apply. So, but that's probably a nice lead on to another type of arrangement that people can enter into, which is a private arrangement. Instead of going through the Department of Human Services formula arrangement, which works for the majority of people, I'm sure, that it's quite standardised, it's clear, the components of the formula are clear, and there is scope for people to apply for a review, what we call a change of assessment application. So it might be, for example, that the formula provides for a payment of X amount of dollars, but that a child might have special needs.
Yes.
And so you might, the parent who's the care of the primary care of the child might make a submission for a review for a bit more money based on extra costs that go with having that special needs child, for example, physio, or the types of expenses that aren't included in the ordinary basket of average child expenses in Melbourne, that is then what is factored into the formula.
Yes.
Or it might be that a parent incurs significant costs in spending time with their child. For example, they might have to pay for an airfare for themselves or for their child, and so they might ask for some of their costs of travel to be taken into consideration, and so their formula assessed amount reduced.
Yes.
So there is scope for people to approach the agency and put forward their circumstances. That's within the context of the Department of Human Services approach. But then there's this private approach that people can elect to take, where they say, okay, we know about the child support agency approach, but we want to do a different approach. And it will probably most often occur for people who are earning a higher income than the maximum income that can be plugged into the administrative formula. So if you can picture that for people who are earning up to a certain amount of money, after that the formula doesn't capture their extra income, and that extra income isn't being distributed to the children for their benefit as a contribution to their expenses. So mostly for that group of people, the higher income earners will go for what we call a private arrangement, which can be documented in what's called a binding child support agreement. And that is effectively a private contract for child support between the parents, and it can be enforced through the court.
So enforced through the court, but you will need specialist legal advice around forming that contract anyway.
That's right. Yeah. So just as in our last discussion with Jeremy, you'll remember that we were talking about binding financial agreements, and they're a private contract for property settlements. Yeah. So we're talking today about private contracts for child support. What we were talking about last time was a private contract for a property settlement. You're working outside of the court system there, and with the private child support agreements, you're working outside of the department's guidelines. So as a safety mechanism, it's required that each party will have obtained independent legal advice about the advantages and disadvantages of doing it this way, the advantages and disadvantages of that particular agreement, and the respective lawyers will sign a certificate of legal advice. And without the certificate, the binding child support agreement is ineffectual, just as without the statements of legal advice, a binding financial agreement is ineffectual.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, it can get more complicated, can it, too, I guess, if one partner remarries and the new partner is happy to help subsidise bringing up the child of the other partner. I mean, is that tricky? It can get quite complex.
Yes. It can. And what can also be quite complex is if a person who is obliged to pay child support to the children of that first relationship then has subsequent children, children in a new relationship. And so they've got financial obligations going in one direction to those, the children from the previous relationship, and financial responsibilities going to the newer, younger children. But that can also be factored in as one of those sort of variables that the agency will take into consideration. With the binding child support agreement, though, it gives... one of the advantages of going into the private binding child support agreement is that it locks the agreement for the time that the agreement is meant to operate. So people might have children in, say, primary school age, and they do one agreement that might take them through to, say, the end of primary school or through to the end of secondary school. And it means that people don't have to revisit this issue each year or whenever there's a change. If you've got a binding child support agreement and your former partner re-partners and has more children, that won't come into effect, the original locked binding child support agreement. It's done unless they want to go to the court and ask the court for some relief from the obligations. But remember, it's a contract, and just like the binding financial agreement, where you've had your independent legal advice and you knowingly entered into the agreement, they're pretty binding.
So difficult to get out of. That's really interesting. So it could get very complex. We're speaking with Vanessa Matthews, our resident family law expert, and the managing director of Matthews Family Law. And we're talking about a really important issue that affects many families, and that is child support. So we've talked about these binding agreements and the other agreements that people can enter into. There's two types. So I think
the administrative approach through the Department of Human Services Centrelink Child Support Agency,
That's
and
it.
on the other approach, which is the private approach.
Private approach, which is entering essentially into a private contract.
Yes.
We're very interested in when things can go wrong. So what if a partner refuses to pay? We hear that.
It's a real problem, and it causes enormous stress for people when their child support is not paid. So if your child support is being managed through the administrative process and there's a failure to pay the assessed amount in part or in full, you can ask the child support agency to follow that up with the person who should be paying, and you can also ask the agency to convert your case from what is called a private arrangement, whereby the payer, the person who's obliged to make the payments, makes the payments directly to the payee, the recipient, on a voluntary basis, in effect, you know, maybe an electronic transfer every Thursday, every payday, it goes across. Or if that's not working for you, you can escalate the collection arrangements and put in a request to the agency that they do what's called an agency collect, and the agency will in fact intervene and garnish, you know, take that money from the person's wages. They'll direct the person's employer to ensure that the money, the specified amount of child support, is paid directly to the recipient rather than from the pay the employer to the payer to the payee. And that's to capture that money more assertively, I suppose you could say.
Yes.
In the case of somebody who's maybe self-employed and doesn't have a payroll office that's looking after their pay, it can be a really, really big problem.
Yes, indeed. I can imagine.
Yeah. So what can happen there is that the agency has authority to intercept any tax refund that a person might receive when they, if they do, and when they do submit their tax return. So, as I said at the outset, the agent child support is closely aligned with the Australian Taxation Office with information and access to information. So, if the child support, if a person has significant arrears of child support, and the Australian Taxation Office is about to send them a refund.
It is a criminal offence, isn't it, to avoid paying child support when there's been an agreement arranged? Is that right?
I don't know that it's a criminal offence.
I mean, morally, it's just,
yes. It's because it's intended for your children's benefit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But oftentimes there's a lot of emotions,
of course,
surrounding this, and people sometimes lose sight of the actual fact that that money is intended to contribute to the food for your children, their share of the gas and the electricity, their petrol, their little school uniforms, their, you know, the little levies that you pay and so on.
It all adds up,
you know, if they have to go to the doctor and get some, you know, prescription medicine or something like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes people don't feel really, they forget.
They're angry that their relationship has broken down and that the kids are suffering the consequences because they're thinking, particularly some guy who's very distressed because the marriage is broken or the relationship is broken down, and they're thinking, I don't want to give any money to her because I don't trust her with it or whatever it might be. It can get really unpleasant, I guess.
It can get really unpleasant. Yeah. In the case of extreme arrears situation where somebody hasn't paid a lot of child support, that person can be prohibited from leaving Australia. So they can
controls over.
Yeah, there can be a prohibition on them leaving the country, and they'll be stopped at immigration.
Goodness.
So it's there are some serious sanctions for people, and the issue of child support and the non-payment of child support is a really, really serious one.
Yes, certainly is. So anything else that's a really good overview of what child support is, how you can actually go about it, and I guess best ways to make that work. Anything else around this topic that you think is important for us to be aware of generally? Maybe some tips or pitfalls that...
I think it's important that people understand also that if a person is receiving some Centrelink benefits, like a family tax benefit A or B, or mm-hmm. A and B, they will probably be asked, have you applied for child support? And if not, we want you to, because the public policy behind that is that the parent of the child should be contributing to their support as opposed to the taxpayers.
Mm.
So the person who's applying for child support will be asked to apply for, the person who's applying for Centrelink benefits, family benefits, will probably be asked about child support. If the person who's applying for child support is worried about family violence issues and they fear that to apply for child support could raise difficulties or make put their safety at risk, then they can apply for an exemption from having to apply for child support. And usually that would mean a meeting with a social worker at Centrelink to put forward the reasons why they shouldn't be obliged to go through the child support process.
Okay.
So those safety issues are important.
They are, aren't they? Yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
Anything else that we should be aware of at this point?
It's important when people are sharing financial arrangements for the children, if there is a child support assessment, it might be that from time to time, the paying parent, also makes some other payments on behalf of the children. So they might, for example, pay for some school costs, or they might pay some medical costs,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe for some, say, tutoring for the child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that person might then seek a credit for seek to apply the amount that they've paid and apply that, offset it against the assessed amount.
Yeah.
And that is a great source of contention, problem for... It can get really, really messy. So it's best if people can be really clear about if the paying parent is going to pay for something, for example, some medical treatment, that everybody really understands, is that payment on top of the assessed amount, or is it going to be credited against the set amount? Because if it's accredited against it, and with the paying parent just applying to the agency and saying, I paid $100 last week for medical costs for the child, I want to have that applied as a non-agency payment, a NAP, that the agency can just accept that, and then the recipient parent can get a surprise and might not have budgeted for that $100 drop in the child support that week.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Really being clear about who is paying what and what is the consequence of that payment for the assessment payment that is due. So also people keeping good records. So if they are paying something, say that $100, that it's probably not done through a cash, here's $100 cash reimbursement, but actually do it through your bank account so that you can, and label the transaction.
Yes,
you know, $100 reimburse, you know, medical costs for, you know, Johnny.
To me, will
yeah,
it?
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Really, really important. We've been speaking with Vanessa Matthews, our accredited family law specialist. Vanessa very generously drops in to see us about once a month with different issues to talk about that really great free information around legal matters that can be so challenging for people. So, Vanessa, thank you so much again. Managing Director of Matthews Family Law and Mediation Services, you and your team do a great job of coming in with really important topics. So we thank you again for that. And no doubt we'll see you next month.
Yes, and thank you
topic.
For having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Great. And the other thing I would like to mention is on our Facebook page, the website links that you have provided us with will pop up on Big Life Conversations Facebook page in relation to child support. It's 15 minutes to 6 here on Big Life Conversations.